Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Right, it is time to play the sexy startup noise where the titles show up on the screen. Then we navigate to the menu of our favourite gaming podcast. That one is called Press X to Continue. And by listening, you are now a member of the Continue Club, or you can call yourself an XE Beast if you want to. Let's sit down and chat games, shall we? My name is Stefan Powell. Usually I have my co-host, my right arm, my friend, the actor, gamer, Einel Tomlinson, but he's too busy taking over the UK on tour, which is amazing to see. He's going to be back with us very shortly, but we do have a voice note, a diary entry, if you will, from Einel on the podcast very soon, which is exciting. But we've got an OG XE Beast, Shay Thompson, to fill the Einel-sized gap in the podcast this week again. Shay, lovely to have you back.
I could only hope to fill those size nines. I actually don't know how men's sizing works. He's probably going to be really annoyed about that.
He's going to be furious at that. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to correct it. It's just great. It's good. Now, Shay, we've started a new sort of ethos, I suppose, with the podcast this year, a new ritual, which is getting going with an unsung hero game. Last week, I spoke passionately, if I may say so myself, about Cricket Captain, which is a sports simulation, sports management sim, which is a franchise that I adore and I think is an unsung hero. What are you going to tell us about this week? A game that is new or old, something that you don't think gets the credit it deserves. Take it away.
I am cheating a little bit with this one because I feel like in the fighting games community, this game is sung the appropriate amount. But I think outside of that, I think in the general kind of gaming population, I think it was like massively overlooked. So Mortal Kombat 9. It's a bit of a rogue choice, but I feel like it came out right after the 3D era for Mortal Kombat, which was a bit maligned. It was a bit of a rough period, I'm not even going to lie. And then it was sort of before the, I guess, the prestige Mortal Kombat era that we know now. So Mortal Kombat 10, 11, and 1. Why they went back to number 1, don't know why.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
But hey, so it kind of sits as a sort of bridge between those two time periods. And it kind of gave birth to a lot of the conventions we know and love from Mortal Kombat, like nowadays, that kind of really aggressive, like really fast, like rush down type of gameplay. And yeah, I kind of went back to it recently because I just had like a real big fighting games feeling. There are some really cool fighting games coming out this year. And so I just kind of wanted to like relearn the language of the genre. And it's brilliant. I think it has like a really cool... it's got like a really cool retelling of the first three Mortal Kombat games. So it was kind of upgraded for that time period's like graphics.
The story we'd seen previously, but just in the sort of the graphical fidelity of the time.
Exactly that. So it's like characters you'd be very familiar with, like Shao Kahn. So it's not the new timeline. It's very, very old timeline. So it feels like nostalgic in a way, but still feels kind of new. It's a nice way to like kind of condense the story as well and make it a bit more succinct. It's really, really, really fun and like fast paced to play. I think it's very, very overlooked by a lot of non-fighting games people.
Yeah, because I suppose you think of Mortal Kombat or you think of the new versions, like you said, that sort of started that look and feel from 10 onwards. So this was a sort of, interesting. You described it as a bridge between what we had and then what people expect Mortal Kombat to be now.
Exactly that. I also like it because it has a bunch of like random guest characters. So Freddy Krueger is in it randomly. And there is a bit more kind of familiar is Kratos from
God of War. I'm just having a quick look on the internet now. Yeah, Kratos is in there. So oh yeah, okay, that's cool. Yeah, the old version of Kratos, I suppose. The OG Kratos, isn't it?
Yes.
With the goatee. Okay, well look, Mortal Kombat 9 then is Shay's unsung hero. Are you a fighting game fan? Do you think that Mortal Kombat 9 doesn't get the plaudits it deserves in the broader gaming space? And let us know, you know what to do. Get in the Discord, find us on social media, and be part of the conversation. We would love to hear from you. So Mortal Kombat 9 is our unsung hero for this week. Right, let's get into the trivia then for our episode this week. Me and Shay didn't do especially well last time we were together. And it's, you know, this sound does bring people out in a cold sweat when they hear it. Now, remember, you can get your ideas, your niche facts, your interesting game quirks into our trivia submissions entry portal, which is in the Discord. It's a secret channel. Only the producers see it. They then turn that into a question and they ask us here on the podcast. So let's have a look at the leaderboards. Yes, Shay, you're in ninth and I am in fourth. Keza McDonald leading the way. I mean, she should lead. She's the Guardian's games editor. Yeah. She should be number one.
It would be bad if she wasn't. So yeah, we're gonna say that. That's the reason why I'm doing so badly.
Almost scrap the top one, so we could all bump up a number. Actually, in a way. Right. Okay. The question this week is this one.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Which game was updated shortly after launch in 2016, in order to combat safety concerns that players were gathering around police stations, fire stations and hospitals, stopping the emergency services from doing their jobs?
I know this one. I actually know this one. I feel like whoever was coming up with the questions had to give Thoris a bone because we were in the trenches. At least I was in the trenches.
Yeah. We've all been in the trenches getting the ones wrong for a long time. Shay, by the way, for those of you just listening to this, not watching it on Spotify or YouTube or whatever, has came out in the biggest smile when she heard this question. She said, yes, nailed it.
Finally.
I've got it. So the question is, which game was updated shortly after launch in 2016 in order to combat safety concerns that players were gathering around police stations, fire stations and hospitals, stopping the emergency services from doing their job? So if we're going to save our answers till the end to create a degree of mystery, because I think we both know it. I am very confident.
Same.
I'm very confident because I think I spoke about it at the time as part of my old job. So I'm not going to give any more hints away than that. But I think I'm confident. So we will give you the answer, of course, as we always do at the end of the podcast. Right then, like I was saying, Einel is busy taking over the world, touring the UK with his stage show. And he's been busy trying to get as much gaming in as he can. And he sent us this little diary note, if you will, from Tales from the Tour, I'm calling it. I've just come up with that. Ooh. I think it works quite nicely, actually. Tales from the Tour. It's Einel who's going to be chatting to us a little bit about how he's getting on his tour.
Hey, what's happening, Press X's? It's Einel here. Big up to all the Continue Clubbers out there and you XE beasts. I am currently on tour. I'm in Darlington in the north of the UK, on tour for Horrible Histories, the concert, Live and Undead.
Just breaking in to say, don't say to me being an actor isn't sexy or glamorous. There he is, sending us a voice note from a hotel in Darlington.
The height of glamour, I'm sure.
It's good. It's good. Right, back to Einel.
Going to be fun. We're going to be going all across the UK, but currently I'm in Darlington, as I said, and let me tell you, we're in the rehearsal process at the moment, and it is, whoa, these are some long days, let me tell you that. I've been, we're going in at like 10 a.m. in the morning, and we don't finish till 10 p.m., so I'm not getting too much time to play games, but I have brought up my Steam Deck and my Nintendo Switch 2, and in the little bit of respite I get, I am playing a few games. At the moment on my Steam Deck, I'm playing Despelote. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a game where you play a young kid growing up in Ecuador, and it's about how football plays a huge part of his life and in the country as well. Really fun, played in a from a first-person view. And also, it's got a really cool, unique art style. So good. Like, check out some screenshots of it. Give it a little Google. Check out some videos. It's so good. A really fun indie title as you're playing as a kid. Loads of voiceover. Don't worry, it's subtitled as well if you can't understand the language. But yeah, super fun. And it's got some really unique, like, archive footage that, and they implement it in a really cool way. It's I don't want to spoil it. Go give it a play. I don't think I've quite played a video game like it. But the story it presents is so, so good and so engrossing as well. So yeah, one of my cool recommendations. And then also,
before we get on to the also, Despelote does sound really cool, Shay, doesn't it? And you were nodding along when he mentioned that.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of my like unsung heroes from last year. I feel like not a lot of people like spoke about it, but it's really cool. It's like such a heartwarming story. It's about I think it's the 2001 World Cup. So it's a bit of like a kind of throwback period of time. And yeah, it's just told and like made very, very well. Football fans, me as a non-sports enjoyer, loved it. I think football fans will get a lot more out of it as well.
Yeah, like Einel was describing there, really unique art style. If you, and it's sort of like black and white, but with like sort of fuzzy 90s VHS footage with some sort of pencil drawing over the top in this first person perspective. So graphically, it's very unique, isn't it, Shay? Which is really cool. Yeah. And I like how games like this, or it hasn't happened loads, I don't think, in gaming, but it might be happening more maybe as the industry grows and gets a bit more mature, how storytelling about a particular period in history that isn't always, and I love a medieval sim. In fact, I'm going to sort of talk about one later on in my review, but like a lot of games traditionally, if it does history, it's like, total all the way back, you know, but it's like the social history of like, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s. There's so much stuff happened then. You could set some really cool games around those periods. On this one, you know, like a relatively recent World Cup. Despelote, big thumbs up for Einel. Shay, like I was saying, the graphical take is super interesting. So yeah, have a look at that. Right, what else has he been playing then? Because it's not just that.
I've been playing Pipistrello and the Cursed Yo-Yo. I know, strange title, but one of the best games I played of 2025. I'm still playing it. It's that good. How to describe this game, though? If you were a fan of The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo or Link's Awakening on the Game Boy, that kind of style of top-down 2D action RPG adventure, then this is your game. I can't stress enough how good the dungeon design is in this. The puzzles, so creative. The movement mechanics, amazing. You only have one weapon in this game. It's a yo-yo button. There's so many different ways in which you can utilize the yo-yo and navigate around the world. It's incredible. Once you get past the first dungeon and the game starts opening up and you start to see the movement mechanics you have in the game, you realize that, whoa, even though this game, the style of game is based on, like, I guess, like how it used to be done in the 90s, it's so unique. It blows your mind to how there hasn't been any games quite like this utilizing the kind of mechanics and the kind of puzzle designs that this game does. It's so good. Review scores for this are high. It's an indie title as well, just like Despelote. And I think you guys are going to really love it. As I said, it's my favorite game of last year. Anyway, I gotta get going. Rehearsals are calling me. Hopefully, I will see you guys on tour. If not, I'll see you next time. Bye.
And there we have it. Lovely Einel sending us his voice note from his hotel in Darlington. It's just how glamorous the life of an actor is, you know? This is it. But the tour, by the way, especially if you've got kids of a certain age, go and check. If there's still tickets available for some of those shows, go and check it out because he sent us some pictures of like him in rehearsals and stuff they're doing. So funny, so rewarding. And also like teaches history as well. It's really cool. So we are very proud of our friend Einel here at Press X to continue. Pipistrello and the Cursed Yo-Yo, by the way. I think he sold it to, because I'm looking for a new train game. I've just got a new job, which means I'm traveling up to Manchester once or twice a week, and it's a 4-hour journey basically by the time you carve it in. And I've been spending a lot of the time this year so far playing the game that I'm going to review in a moment. But I'm on the lookout for a new game, Shay. Pip's Trail on the Cursed Yo-Yo could be it.
It looks like it's going to be this. I pride myself on like knowing a lot of indie games. When I tell you, I've literally never heard of this a day in my life. It came out in like May, and it's sitting at overwhelmingly positive on Steam. And I'm just like, how did I not hear about this? It looks really good. So I think this will be the game that I add to my list of five for next month.
Yes, for next month. Yeah. As to your list of five. Yeah, fine. Okay, so we'll catch up with Daniel again very, very soon. Right then, let's chat about this, because big news, but also not big news, because sadly, it's sort of, let's chat about it. It happens a lot. Games that die, that stop, that are closed down, that cease to be. Because in the middle of January, the servers for the game Anthem were switched off. Now, you might not remember Anthem, but it was an online service game. And basically, the servers have been shut down, so you can't play the game anymore. Now, when Anthem was being hyped up and in the lead up to it coming out, it was being bigged up to being like the next big thing. I know there's like loads of stories of this happening, and we will talk about some of them, no doubt, now. But it was there to compete with your Fortnites and your Destinies. Yeah. And I suppose what then became Wars, or you know, online or sort of online service games. It's been closed down. It is no more. It has ceased to be. It's gone to meet its maker. All that stuff, right? Now, the National Video Game Museum in Sheffield is obviously on a mission to try and preserve games. How do you preserve an online service game? I don't know. That's a fascinating conversation to have another time. But so, how do you feel then, Shay, when a game like this stops and is no more?
I have a couple of different, like, very complicated feelings about it. Like, this is kind of the most unpopular part, so I'm kind of gonna get this out of the way. I think game creators and companies are allowed to kind of dictate the direction with which they take their game. That doesn't mean completely kill it and take it offline, especially if people have paid money upfront. Like, that's a lot to just kind of remove something from existence. Like, that's insane. It's especially heartbreaking with Anthem, though, because I am a BioWare girly. Like, when they announced that their new game was going to be this kind of online, you know, game as a service, I was very disappointed, but I was still like, okay, let's see what they do. It was very ambitious. And I think with a bit more time and like resources dedicated to it, they could have like turned it around, but it didn't end up happening that way. I think that game companies have a degree of responsibility to ensure that like the game can live on in a way that I guess can't be edited by the fans, but they don't necessarily make money off of. I think there's, I mean, people who know more about like modding and stuff will know more about this, but there is a way to kind of keep the software out there for, and like people will run the servers themselves. Like, that's something that's happened with like other games that should be allowed. And that, I think that should be the norm with these sorts of games. The fact that it isn't is terrible. But yeah, that should be where this
I imagine
going.
There's some sort of IP thing, because there's probably a bit of code in there somewhere that they're now using for another title. And if it becomes open source, then anybody can get hold of it and then make something using whatever they've spent millions on developing or whatever. It's interesting, isn't it? Like, with online only games, I wonder whether actually the answer is, if you're going to, I mean, can't force anybody to do this stuff, but a good practice might be that you turn it into an offline thing so that it can be preserved, so people can go and play it in years to come. Oh, I see what they were doing with this. So that was cool. This might inspire me to go and create this bit. Because we're all in, you know, people create stories, whether it's books, movies, TVs, games, or when they're inspired by the stuff. There was some really cool imagery and ideas in Anthem. I can remember going to an early play test of it before it came out. At this point, it was going to still be the next big thing. And so many games companies at the time were doing these sorts of projects. And I think what is interesting is now you've seen that the games industry, they thought, right, online service games are going to be the way we make money from now on. That is going to be it. And everybody pivoted. Even Naughty Dog was working on something similar, Last of Us, right? Remember? And then they just said, you know, actually, when you start seeing ones like this fail, and it's such an expensive failure as well, they thought, actually, I think you get a bit more sense in the industry now, saying like, this is such a skill that we should leave people who are good at doing this do this, and we're going to focus on the thing that we do well, actually, because you can't make this make money. Anthem is a good example of like, the skills in that company were about games like Mass Effect and games like Dragon Age Inquisition, and they're not necessarily about online service games that have got a very specific way of appealing to audiences. I remember they made a live action trailer for this, directed by the guy, Neil, what's his surname? Is it Blomkamp?
Is he, you talking about the District 9 guy?
Yeah, Neil Blomkamp. I interviewed him at the time, actually, so I should remember that. It's not that long ago. They made a live action trailer about this game, right? Trying to set up the lore and stuff. But ultimately, the gameplay loop wasn't satisfying enough. You could see in the background, the flying was really cool. The mechs were really cool. The suits were cool. The environments were really cool. I think you could just see in the background game execs trying to make money, like just blurting at you, this is how we're going to make money. And it's like, oh. And I think people turned off it. And now it is sad that it's no longer all the creativity, all the ideas. There was some really good stuff in there, but I just think it is sad when something like this comes to an end.
It's a shame. And the thing is, it's so bad for gamers. Like, you spend money on this and then you're told, actually, no, you can't play this anymore. Like, that's really bad precedent to send.
I'm actually surprised, though, that it lasted as long as it did, that they kept it going as long as they did.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw the news that it was being taken offline, I was like, it's not already? Yeah. I thought it was. I thought it was already gone.
When did it release again?
I want to say 2019, because I think I was still streaming for Xbox full time.
Yeah, it was February 22, 2019. Yeah. To be fair, they've managed to keep it
going for much longer than I thought.
Yeah. And you are seeing some people managing to keep it running on different servers and bits and pieces, which, you know, it might be illegal and whatever. So we won't condone that. But, you know, it's a game that has come to an end. It's always sad when you see those moments, big MMOs that come to an end, and everybody who used to play loads, they log back on for one last time when they have a party when the server goes dead. I think those moments are actually quite cool, but I know it's sad.
No, I don't. I don't think it's sad. And it makes me like, it's like one of the rare moments where it makes me proud to be a gamer, even though I don't play very many MMOs. I think it's like, there is no other feeling like it. You don't get that out of like watching a movie or like even like being at a concert. There is that collective feeling, but something about like being able to jump onto a game with people that you would have been playing for like decades, and it's like sunsetting, like, oh, there's nothing like it. And it's a shame.
I think just thinking of like all the different MMOs that sort of shut down their servers, I think there was a Final Fantasy one that had a good ending at a moment when everybody sort of logged back on for the last time and things like that. So many titles that have happened. Like, the world is littered with MMOs that don't last anymore. Like Star Wars Galaxies or the Matrix one or the Warhammer one or the superhero one, Cities of Villains and Heroes. But I think what's interesting about Anthem is that it's the latest in a string of online service games that have basically shown that model that everybody thought was going to dominate the industry and make everybody a ton of money, isn't it? Anthem's failed. Well, is it a failure or whatever? It's now closed down when it's supposed to be the next big thing, right? Marvel's Avengers. No, that's not a live service game with a scope that it was supposed to be.
Oh, wait, are you thinking of maybe is it DCU Online? I don't know if shut down yet. Is that still going?
Remember Marvel's Avengers, where they brought it out and it never landed because they weren't the same likenesses as the Marvels. And then they did Suicide Squad then later down the line.
What you mean? Yes. Which didn't work.
Was the full title of that Marvel game? Marvel Avengers game. It was... it was just called Marvel Avengers, and then if I remember rightly, they turned it into a linear game as opposed to the online service game that it was supposed to be. Suicide Squad, Killer Justice League, same thing happened to that. Concord, obviously, the epic fail of that shooter that lasted only 14 days. Remember Battleborn? When Overwatch came out, it was Battleborn or Overwatch.
I played the hell out of Battleborn. Just allow me a moment. It was because you could do like online co-op, but like in the same like room. So you could do it like split screen. And so I play it with my housemates. We spent so much time playing. And I was playing it alongside like OG Overwatch. And it just didn't, like, it was good, but it just didn't get the wider, I guess, like notice that it deserved. And then they killed it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, so just, there's just so many examples of these. I just wondered, Should games companies have like an obligation to keep a version of it available somewhere for people? Actually, you know, we've spent the money on this. We've spent the time and the creativity and the IP on this. We haven't got the energy or the, you know, the financials to do it anymore. We've got to stop. That's on us. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
I 100% think so, because the thing that's really jarring about this is, especially like looking at Anthem, BioWare are a studio that's known for their single player narrative experiences, right? That's what we wanted out of them. Instead, they gave us this game as a service that we didn't want. So you've given us a pie that we didn't want, and then you're going to take the pie like later on. Like, I don't know why I've reached a pie as
well. Why not? You're hungry. So we're recording this about lunchtime, so it's fair.
Yeah. But I'm just like, okay, then you absolutely do have a duty of care to keep this game running in some capacity. You've given us something that we didn't want, and we settled for it, right? So at least keep it active in some capacity. Like, just completely cutting it off with no like real explanation outside of, yeah, this is happening. That sucks. That's terrible. That is genuinely terrible.
So let us know then, were you one of the few that played and enjoyed Anthem? I reckon there was an amazing single player experience in Anthem. And I think that is that is true of lots of these games that end up being games as service, is that you've got an amazing idea, some really cool gameplay, and you're just trying to stretch it too thin. And then you realise then that the loop is not satisfying as a result of that. I don't know, I just get a sense of it. But I do think the studios are learning that actually there's so many failures out there now, games that didn't quite make it, that they're stopping doing it because actually it's not worth it. But look, did you play Anthem? Did you play an MMO that shut down? Did you play a live service game that altered or came to an end or whatever? Maybe you're someone who also helps preserve games or something. Let us know. You know, share your thoughts on the end of Anthem. Get involved in the Discord. Comment on this on social media. We would love to hear from you on your take on all this, because it is fascinating, and it's probably going to happen a lot more as well as things continue to get a bit tight in the games industry and people, you know, spend less money or whatever. Right, should we have a review, Shay?
Oh yes, tell me about games.
Okay, let's talk about games. Let's talk about a game. Have you heard of this one? Have you heard of a game called Be Castled?
No. Oh, Becastled. My God, put me on to...
Hello.
Yeah, something else.
So Be Castled is a game that came out in October of 2025. It is the game that has been keeping me company on my new weekly commute to work. And essentially, if you like castles, if you like being in charge of a fantasy village, if you like an element of tower defense, stick all those together and this could be for you. It's a mix of cozy town building and survival sim all mashed together. You build up your town, your castle in the day, you fight to survive at night. That's the premise of the game. I was looking for something that was like, not mindless, but something that wasn't like too linear, something that I would have to sort of really focus my attention on the journey. I wanted something to make me feel warm and fuzzy and cozy. I like castles. I saw this on the Switch 2 and I thought, you know what, screw it. I'm going to roll the dice. I'm just going to buy something. Because sometimes paralysis by analysis, isn't it? Where you read too much and you go FOMO and you're like, oh, should I get this? So, you know what? Sorry, I'm in. I want to do this. I like castles. I want to feel cozy and town building. I also like games like Bard North that we've talked about on the game before, an old indie game. And this sort of is a mix of both. Now, I love the mix that it gives you, right? I love the juxtaposition of emotions this title gives you, because the serenity of, oh, where am I going to put my My loggers, where am I going to put the farm? Where should I place the tavern to make sure there's enough houses around it to make my people happy? You know, oh, I'm just going to put my walls here and make them pretty. Oh, I might put a fountain in the middle of my, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then spending your money to invest in better houses and, you know, oh, now I've got a treasury. Now I've got an iron ore mine. Do you know what I mean? That sort of stuff. I enjoy the coziness of that. And then at night it becomes a bit like, oh no, wait, did I train enough pikemen? Oh goodness, where am I going to put my archers? Right, that happens to you. And because the days go quite quick and then they sneak up and you're all of a sudden, these sort of zombie-like things come in the night and attack you. And if you're not ready, they destroy all your hard work and then you're back down. So it's really fun. Look, I wouldn't say that I am, you know, a journalist that could write for Tech Foundry when it comes to games, but I will say that it's a little bit glitchy on the Switch 2. The controls work perfectly fine. I think it's designed for mouse and keyboard. It works fine on the Switch 2, but just like I can remember when playing Crusaders Kings on the Xbox as opposed to the mouse and keyboard. Yeah. Some games are just designed for the mouse and keyboard, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it does fine.
Compliant. Yeah.
No. It's a little bit glitchy. I don't know. Like, I've done about 20 hours with it now, I think, on different journeys. And I think that might be me saying, thank you very
much. You've seen enough. You know? You've done enough.
But it's done its job. It's been really fun. It costs you 18 quid on the Switch 2.
Okay.
It's a bit cheaper on Steam. It's about 17 quid on Steam. So that is Becastled. Any questions for me on that, Shay?
Yeah, I don't play a lot of like city builders or like kind of tower defense strategy games. Like, would this be like a good entry into that sort of world, those genres?
I think it's easy to pick up and play.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think because of that sort of cozy vibe it's got, nice and calm, I think therefore it gently eases you in, and the attacks you get at night start quite low, and as clearly they scale up, right?
Right. Okay.
It reminds me of the fightingy bits. Reminds me of Bad North, because yes, it's tower defense, but you're actually moving your troops around. It's not strict mobile tower defense where you're just placing your towers and that's all you can do. You are moving your troops around a little bit, so that's why it's a bit like Bad North.
Okay.
And then the town building stuff is like a cozier version of, you suppose you wouldn't have played a game called Stronghold in the 90s and the north and the early 2000s.
I'm familiar with it though.
I wanted to play Manor Lords, but because that's not portable, I don't have a Steam Deck. That's why I went for this. So it was a bit element of SimCity. I would say it's fairly easy entry point. Yes, I would.
Okay. And it's good for like journeys, like you said. So, you know, something
I'm playing on the Switch too, because I'm finding on journeys, management sims are good to me. Because I wanted to get the Donkey Kong game for the journey, but actually I can't. Platformers, you need to be a bit dexterous, a bit nimbler. And actually, when you're like on a train, sometimes you're like this, or sometimes you're like that, or you're trying to eat a sandwich or whatever. It's not for me. Whereas a game where I can pause it and nothing happens, or like it doesn't really matter if I place my, you know, my wood cutting cabin, I can't exactly remember the name, you know, slightly a bit to the left, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If my wheat field isn't in the precise location, it's not going to kill me. Whereas, you know, if I'm playing a platformer or a fighting game or a sports game, and you need to be a bit more dexterous, then I don't enjoy that on a journey. Like, I've tried playing Mario Kart on the journey and I can, but
it's
I'd rather
same.
Something like this. It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
So look, that's my, any last thoughts before we move on?
Because I, it does look very cozy. It does look very cute. And does it, like the sort of monsters that you're attacked by, as you said, it kind of scales up and gets a bit harder. How hard are we talking? Because like sometimes like if something's too hard on the train, I will get annoyed and then everyone's going to have a bad time.
I mean, I'm not going to, I might have I've started from the start a couple of times, maybe.
that's okay.
Because I never train enough pikemen. That's my problem. So yeah, basically you just need to remember, because you do get swept in. I got drawn into the cozy castle building and trying to, ooh, where should I put this fountain? As opposed to, I haven't got enough archers. And I think there's, and because it does tell you how many enemies are coming in the night. So you do have a sense of, and they tell you, so it gives you a sense of where they're going to come from. But on a couple of playthroughs, now I'm a bit more savvy. So now I'm a bit more like, okay. Because I've, you know, I haven't quite got to the place where I'm building really impressive castles yet. I'm still sort of at fort level. I've enjoyed, for me, it's done exactly what I needed it to do. Whether it's something you want, you know, if you're looking for something to sink tens and tens and tens of hours into, I don't know. And like I said, it is a little bit janky at times on the Switch 2, although I think there's some patches that have come that have improved that a little bit, but it's still not as smooth as you maybe would want.
I was going to say, because you just mentioned keyboard and mouse, is it not supported by the sort of mouse functionality on the Switch 2?
I tell you what, I'm playing on the train, playing it handheld. To be fair, the buttons are quite intuitive, actually. And I think console games have got much better at using controllers for game, you know, strategy, essentially games like this. So I've been happy with that side of it. But yeah, I think like if you're looking for a game that runs super clean and gets all your frames per second and all that stuff, then this probably ain't for you, especially when there's a big horde coming in the night.
Yeah.
There's a couple of glitches that have popped up here and there. Like a funny one though was one of the enemies had fired an arrow, and for some reason the arrow was massive and it was the size of my entire castle. It was like, I'm gonna have to quit and then load back in.
Oh, and then come back in. Yeah.
It's a bit of that going on, you know, it is pretty cheap. I think my recommendation would be to wait, maybe if you don't need a game right now,
yeah,
I would wait until it's on sale. But if you're after a game that does blend cozy castle building with a bit of action, then it is a really unique blend in that sense. Because, you know, you've got something like Townscaper, which is really cool, but I found it getting a little bit boring after a while. Actually, yeah. Once you've made one pretty village or one pretty bridge.
You've done it all. Yeah.
I've done it now. I've done it. Whereas this, the action in the night does keep you going. So yeah, be castled. Is my review for this episode. Yeah, like I said, that doesn't have a Metacritic review, by the way, because it hasn't been reviewed by many people. So it's quite a small sort of release out there. So it doesn't got enough, not enough scores on Metacritic as of yet. And I don't think this counts as a score for Metacritic. So
sadly, no. When are they going to finally pay attention?
Come on, switch on.
It is sitting at a mostly positive on Steam, though.
Yeah, very positive. So that's good. That's good. That could be one of your five, Shay, for this next month.
Yeah. And it's a different game for me, which was kind of the point of the five. So
yeah, and if you look at like you know the games you tend to talk about, we talked about fighting games earlier on. The games you're looking forward to in 2026. The last time we were chatting, were all pretty bleak and dark, and you know, is this?
This is wholesome. You know? This is cozy. This is a vibe. So yeah.
Yeah, right. As wholesome as you can get. But once you're being attacked by feral werewolves and zombies at night, as wholesome within that context.
Yeah,
I think there's zombies because the graphics are sort of like cozy. There's no faces on the baddies. They're like just like this sort of blue sheen. Right. Okay. So the big question from today's show, this is where our producers listen to our conversation and come up with a question from what we've been chatting about. And the question is this: you've been told that your all time favorite game will be playable for one last time and your friends are getting together to play it before it is deleted from history. What's the game? Who's playing? And where are you playing it?
Unfortunately, this is a nightmare that has come true for me. With Overwatch 1, I was a very, very early adopter of the OG Overwatch. And I had friends that I had in like Chicago because we met on like a Reddit, like a subreddit. It was specifically for women looking for people to play Overwatch with because we were tired of playing with gross men. I would stay up until like ungodly hours in the morning, like real grebo video gaming. Like I was at my nerdiness. And OG Overwatch, many hours in the comp. It was a lot and it was great. I loved it.
R.I.P. I think this is a game that I've spoken about a lot because it is a feeling that I'm still chasing that I've never got back, and I wonder whether it will ever return because of the unique environment in which we found ourselves. And in fact, I was actually messaging Daniel Krupa, who's been with us here on Press X many times before from RKG Video, about this the other day. We're like, we need to find a new one of this, because he was one of the boys that I would play this with. For me, it is Warzone and it's lockdown.
Yeah.
And it's 9 o'clock. And then WhatsApp is pinging like, what time you on, boys? And we get together one more time. I bought a special teapot that would keep my tea warm, so I didn't have to get up to go to the kitchen in a little flat we lived in at the time to make tea between rounds. And I had two groups. I'd play with Krupa, Joan and Simon on one night, and the next night it would be James and Sandy, the boys. We would be on, and it was amazing because, you know, it was, for a lot of people, it was a real lifesaver, wasn't it? You know, you would talk about the world, it showed the connection you could get, but also the game was super fun. They'd really nailed it before it got too into its own stuff and too in need to update the meta all the time to keep the grinders happy.
Mm.
It was perfect for casual gamers. And it was a fantastic moment in times. And I was messaging Krupa, we're like, we need to find that Ark Raiders as apparently could be that game.
Apparently, yeah. I think, as you mentioned, and sort of the common thread here is like early adopting of these games, like when you get in at the very beginning before the meta is like properly established and you're there with the friends, and it's such a specific feeling. So yeah, maybe Ark Raiders is the one, because that's still like new and pretty fresh. Yeah.
Helldivers 2 was brilliant as well in those early days when you were playing with people for the first time, because it was so new and fresh. I just had very small children at the time, so I couldn't invest in it every night. In fact, I remember playing Helldivers 2 with Sadie, my youngest, in like a sling.
Cool.
I'm sorry, boys. They're to the east. They're to the east. Can't hear you whispering. Well, I can't shout at you because I've got a sleeping child on my chest. So that was, so missed out on that. So maybe it's finding that next. And I do like something that's a little bit competitive.
Yes.
For online play. Because I could just, you know, you could join a clan online, MMO or something. Anyway, so I'm looking for that and I'll never find it. So that's where we're going. Another great question this week from the producers. Let's finish off with our trivia then. Me and Shay are very confident. The question was, which game was updated shortly after launch in 2016 in order to combat safety concerns that players were gathering around police stations, fire stations and hospitals, stopping the emergency services from doing their jobs? Because I think we both got the same answer. After three, let's say what we think. One, two, three. Pokemon Go. Yes.
Finally.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think I wrote about it for the BBC website at the time.
I remember under
my own job. The answer is Pokemon Go. Yay. So originally, police stations, fire stations, they were Pokestops and they were gyms.
Yeah. There was a moment where I was like, oh my God, are we actually wrong about this? And I was like slightly scared. I remember that. And it was, having the Pokestops in those places was cool in theory, but I was like, oh no, not the emergencies. We need those.
I know. Players were loitering around the fire stations, the police stations and the hospitals to try and catch Pokemon and battling gyms. But it was safety concerns. It was going to clog up roads where the emergency services could be delayed getting to life-threatening incidents. So they moved them. There we are. So Shay, that means you're up to sixth. So you've jumped up three places there.
A whole three.
The algorithm is doing work for you. Very good. And I'm sticking solidly in fourth place. Our Discord are so clever, and how they've done the maths to make this work blows my mind, but it's so brilliant. And right, that is us then for another episode of Press X to Continue. Don't forget to get involved with messaging us in the Discord or finding us on social media. We'll be back on Tuesday with more fun. Shay, thank you very much for being with us. We will see you again very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.